Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
It is my pleasure and honor to introduce Mr. John Osterlund.
Yeah!
Or Ozone, as we know and love him as. What's up, John?
Hey, guys. Yeah, that was before everybody hated Nickelback.
That's right. That's right.
Exactly.
Well, I think hating Nickelback is like kind of a chic thing. Like you have to be, you know, it's kind of like a hip thing to do.
Yeah, hating Limp Bizkit and hating Nickelback has become cool somehow.
Right. Although Nickelback isn't really crying about it. They're laughing all the way to the bank.
Yeah.
So
is Fred Durst.
That's right. You know, it's so great to hear from you guys. I mean, it's sad. The reason why I'm talking with you guys today, I mean, I was pretty shocked like everybody else was a couple of days ago when I heard the news, but how are you guys doing? How are you two doing?
Well, you know, we're crying and laughing and eating and crying and laughing and retching.
Not sleeping, crying again.
Yeah, you know, the usual, but you know, we've been saying this all day, John, that this is a very unusual thing that any company would do is let the on-air people say goodbye. Because
especially a radio station, because you guys could just start swearing at any time right now, and things would be bad. But they know that you guys are pros, and you're awesome, and it's so great to talk to you. But I'm just so bummed out the reason why we're talking.
I know, man.
I was just talking about that day where you were talking to I believe it was Scott Weiland and it was Dean DeLeo.
Yeah.
That were in there, and I remember it was either a manager or a label person, and I remember hearing them say to you, all right, don't ask him anything about jail because he just got out of jail at that point, don't ask him anything about jail. And you're like, yeah, okay, no problem. And so you turn the mic on. The first thing you say is, so is prison a good place to kick drugs? I was bracing for the screaming him just storming out. And no, he was pretty cool about it. I remember he took that right on and he was pretty chill about it.
He was very cool. That was a very memorable day, a very memorable interview. And the songs that they played were absolutely fantastic. And I was going to ask you, before you all leave, we're all Facebook friends. Could you send me that stuff via Facebook or something?
Because oh, hell
I don't
yeah.
have that.
Yeah.
And I would love to have those recordings from my show that day. I remember the Ozone Cafe, the good old days.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember all that. We were just talking about that, and we were kind of talking about with Kevin Barbary, who was up here, and the stuff that was done back then that maybe you can't really get away with now.
Almost everything
pretty much everything. radio is different. You can't really say nearly half the things that we could say back then. But it's funny you brought that up, because anybody that would tell us not to do something, the first thing we would do is do exactly what they told us not to do.
Mm-hmm.
And so whether it was asking Scott Weiland about prison or anything else, that's just the way AAF always was. There was something about that building, something about that radio station, such a special place. And boy, you know, it's been 19 years. I cannot believe I've been out of AAF, off of AAF for 19
years.
It
doesn't seem possible.
Yeah, that is so crazy.
You're just such a part of this place still that it doesn't even seem possible that you've been gone that long.
Yeah. A lot of people still, you know, what's Ozone doing? What's Ozone up to? And You know, and you're down in New Orleans now, right? You're still down there?
Yeah, I ended up in New Orleans. After I left AAF, I went down the hall to RKO. I did a mm-hmm. talk show for 2.5 years, and yeah. then I got fired. I almost made it through the 3-year contract. and then I took a few years off. I moved down to Miami Beach. An old college roommate of mine, along with a guy that used to work at AAF, Steve Flagg, we
yep.
opened up a bar.
Flag.
Yep. We opened up a bar on the beach in Miami for a couple of years, and it was a barbecue restaurant, too. I was doing that, and then a guy who used to work at AAF in promotions, Mike Kramer, walked into my bar one night. He had just gotten a job in New Orleans, and they were switching formats, and then he asked me if I wanted to audition to do a talk show in New Orleans. I think I was cleaning the toilet at the time in my bathroom at the bar. And I said, sure, you know, I wouldn't mind doing that. And I ended up auditioning. I got a job to do a talk show here in New Orleans. I did that for 7 years, and then they went bankrupt. That was Clear Channel, iHeartMedia. And then I was out of a job there. But then the competition ended up hiring me. And so currently I'm doing a morning show on the classic rock station here in New Orleans. It's called Bayou 95.7 WKBU, and I don't want to throw in a plug, but you could listen to the show on radio.com, the app, and that's where I am now. But this is not about me. This is about you guys and AAF and what an incredible, special radio station that place was, and especially back in the 90s when I was there. Kerry, Mike Hsu, do you remember the bands we were breaking? We broke Korn. I mean, yeah. everybody knows Godsmack. Well, we were the first station in America to play Korn, too.
Yeah, we took big chances with music, and Korn was one of them.
And Ozone was the music director.
Yeah, right.
So he was involved with a lot of those ballsy decisions to take chances on mm-hmm. some of these bands that yep. a lot of other radio stations were scared of, and a lot of people were just like, oh, there's just, who is this band? Nobody knows. I mean, mm-hmm. Korn, Limp Bizkit, Seven Dust, Godsmack. I mean, there was a whole Tool. Like there
right.
were all
yeah.
of these bands that nobody was playing.
Yeah. I remember sitting in the music meeting with Mike Brangiaforte and our former PD, Dave Douglas, and he played Sugar by System of a Down.
Yeah.
And he turned around and he looked at us. He said, what do you think? And both Mike and I were like, that sounded pretty good. I think we should play that. And it was just, yeah. Then, you know, there's a lot of other bands that didn't blossom or didn't take hold. But
they were fun trying. Those chances are the ones you got to take.
It was. What was some of the stuff you loved, John, that you remember from back in those days?
Well, I remember here we were the first station in America to play "Hey Man, Nice Shot" by the band Filter.
Wow.
And I remember, and I remember when the record guy was in the music meeting with Korn, and the song was "Blind." That was the first Korn single, and we listened to it. And when it was over, we just stared at each other. I said, this is either going to be absolutely huge or people are going to laugh at this band. Because when Jonathan Davis started going, dung-da-da-ding, dung-da-ding,
yeah.
dung-da-da-ding, you know, we started looking at each other, and then we said, yeah, we're going to play that. We're going to take a chance with that. But there were many bands like that. And, you know, Kerry, after I left, you replaced me as music director. So you remember that. But
yeah.
those were the days, it seemed like every other day, every other week, we were breaking bands. And look, I don't want to really say too much about Limp Bizkit, but the rest of them that you named, yeah, I'm proud to say that we were the first in America to play those bands.
Hey, I had a lot of fun at those Limp Bizkit shows. I'm not going to say anything bad.
So
that band
I,
is fun at a party. I'm not saying anything bad about that band. But there were tons of bands, and like, you know, the shows. I mean, what are some of the shows that you remember? Because we used to put on some awesome concerts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, my God. Well, a few that come to the top of my mind. I remember the indoor beach party. It might have been the year 2000 or 2001 when we had, I think it was Disturbed. It was in Lowell at the Songus Arena, and I ended up after that, and I ended up in jail. I don't know.
Yes,
I remember that. But
yes.
Yeah, the cops came into the hotel, and they put me in handcuffs, and one of the AF listeners picked up a garbage can and was going to hit a Lowell cop over the head with the garbage can, and people were screaming no. But I ended up getting arrested that night. So we went from that AF indoor beach party in Lowell at the Songus Arena to the hotel, and then I went from that hotel into the Lowell police station. And one of the women working, one of the cops, the Lowell cops, she saw my pass because I was wearing the backstage pass, and it said WAF Indoor Beach Party, and she knew who I was. And she said, oh, can I get your autograph? And I said, well, as soon as you take these handcuffs off, yeah, I'll sign that for you. So I signed it for her, my pass, and I gave it to her. I gave her my backstage pass.
Are you the only member of the air staff that's ever been arrested at an event? I think you might have.
At an event, yes.
That distinguished, you know, that you got hauled out of one of our own events yourself. That's fantastic.
Yeah, in handcuffs. I'm not proud about it, but that did happen. I don't really remember exactly what I did wrong. It ended up being a slap on the wrist, misdemeanor. Thank God I still don't have any felonies on my record. But, yeah, I'll never forget that AAF indoor beach party leaving in handcuffs. Yeah.
One of the ones that we had in Marlboro, I think I was either an intern or on the street team, but we had an indoor beach party, and that was when they used to bring the trucks of sand in. And then at the end of the night, we had to rake out all the debris and then shovel the sand back into the truck. And a listener, somebody stole a toilet off the wall out of the bathroom at the show. And the bathroom was right next to the exit. And the security guards were trying to figure out how someone got a real full porcelain toilet out of the bathroom and got it past security. And they stole it. They were like, this is the most impressive thing I've ever seen.
I remember that, Carrie, because I had to go to the bathroom, and I remember running into that bathroom, and the toilet was gone.
It was just
like, how I don't know.
It was like sticking out of the wall, and everybody was just like, they walked me in there because it was the men's room, and they walked me in there because I was like, I need to see this. And it one of the toilets was just completely stolen. Classic.
Come on, Carrie. Like, that's the only time you've ever been in a men's room.
No, it might have been one of the first, but it hasn't been the last.
John, I'm getting a lot of questions on our text line here. It's all the same question, and I'm going to ask it. I know it's not a politically correct thing to say, but it's something that was a staple of when you were moving through the ozone. Do midgets still equal funny?
It's not as politically correct to say anymore, but I'll be damned if, no matter how you cut it, midgets equal funny.
Oh, God, there it is.
There's the drop.
There it is. That'll be worked into the lawsuit.
There's
somehow.
The drop.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I remember listening to John on my way in for my interview with Dave Douglas, and I'm listening like, wow, this guy's great, and the music they're playing is amazing, and Dave Douglas brings me in to meet John, and I was expecting like a guy that was like 500 pounds, you know, with a giant beard, and there's John Osterlin, all 150 pounds
yeah,
of him, with his
skinny,
long hair, no
skinny
beard.
Guy, like.
I was like, how you doing? I was like, oh my God, that's you? Is that right?
Yeah, you must have been thinking about Rocco, R.I.P. because he had a deep voice like me too, but he was actually he looked like his voice.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, he was that big guy. Yeah.
Yeah, people always look at me funny. They're like, you don't look like you sound, and I guess we all hear people and we put a, and this was, you know, this was before the internet got big back in the 90s. Mm-hmm. So our pictures weren't everywhere. And I remember when people used to meet me, they used to look at me funny. They're like, you don't look anything like you sound. And I was thinking, well, how am I supposed to look? I never knew how I was supposed to look, you know? So.
Yeah. Now it's like, you know, video, social media, you know, I got into radio because I have a face for radio.
Yeah. That joke doesn't really apply anymore.
Yeah. You can't do that anymore. And, yeah, that's a major part of it.
Hey, John, we were talking about all of the AAF CDs that we used to put together, and we were talking about the Survive This One. Did you win the AAF Survivor on the island in the harbor that day? Were you the one that lasted more than everybody?
I didn't win. I think I came in second. If I remember correctly,
who won? None of us can remember who won.
I don't know.
Yeah, I'm having a tough time
remembering.
But I don't think I won. I think I came in second, but I was so knocked out. I don't remember who won because I was pretty much passed out on that island.
I know, we were all exhausted.
Who thought it was a good idea to boat us all out there and stick us on an island all day?
I remember John kept calling Rocco FUBU. Because that's like the shirts he wore, and Rocco kept getting pissed
off. He was mad.
He's like, stop calling me FUBU.
And this was just for the day.
Yeah.
Like, the show on television, they're on the island for God knows how long. They put us all on one island for one day, and by the end of it, we all wanted to kill each other.
And all broadcast live.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was insane.
That was great. You know, you brought up the TV show. you know, Ian Barrett did such a great job with WAAF Real Rock TV. It used to be on at midnight on Friday nights. It was on the Spanish-speaking channel. Yep. That was the only channel that would have us.
Yes.
Do you know if he would ever release those, put them on the internet to
there's
make them public?
There's some stuff.
Because
I mean,
of those shows.
He's going to be here tomorrow, but there is some stuff up on YouTube already. You can go and look at WAAF Real Rock TV, and you'll find videos up on YouTube. But he's coming in tomorrow because he's got a ton of stories about all of us.
That's what I'm scared of.
Yeah,
because he's seen all of us. Yeah,
yeah, that was
the
fun
scenes.
Stuff. After I hang up with you guys, I'm going to go check that out because we had a blast making those TV shows.
I know,
and I learned a little bit of Spanish too.
Yeah, you had to.
Pretty sure we were the only show on that on Univision that was getting ratings at that time of the night. It was like, oh, it's midnight. We got to put. And then every time we went somewhere, if we bumped into a Spanish person that watched Univision, they always know who we were because they watched our show just because it was on Univision.
I think that helped us. Yeah, and I think
that
it helped us.
So
hilarious.
Yeah, you know, in Latino listeners.
Yeah.
Because we have a lot of them. And I think that may have helped us, you know, with them, with the audience that Univision already had.
Yeah,
so,
it's hilarious.
No, but I can't believe IAF rocked New England for 50 years, and I was so fortunate, very fortunate, to be a part of it for 9 years, almost 10 years, and then you guys have been there now for 20 years, and it's just one of those places that it's such a special radio station. We could literally keep this conversation going for the next 2 hours.
Yeah.
I've got so many stories, and I'm writing them down. Maybe one day, maybe I'll release it as some sort of a book towards WAAF. Because and I just wanted to take this time to thank our program director back then, Ron Valeri, who hired me. Him, along with our general manager at the time, Bruce Mittman, who was unbelievable.
Yeah.
I mean, Bruce Mittman was the coolest general manager ever.
Yeah.
I remember one day after we, you know, I did a couple of risky breaks on the radio, on the show. He comes into the studio. He says, I've got the National Association of Little People on line one. They're upset with you. I've got the Lesbians of Massachusetts on line two. They're upset with you. And he had like three different phone calls from people that were on hold that were all pissed over something I just talked about on my show. But he never let it get to any of us. You know, he took all of the hits for us, and it's so refreshing because this day and age in radio, it's completely different. If somebody does something wrong on the air with the cancel culture, they're gone in 5 seconds.
Yeah.
But back then, Bruce Mittman, he would stand up and he would protect us from everything. And then, of course, Dave Douglas, who you mentioned earlier, replaced Ron Valeri, and he was something else. And we all remember Opie and Anthony in those days. I'll tell you, some of the greatest memories of my life were up there. And it's a special place, and I'm so damn sad that it's all coming to an end.
Yeah, we are too. And,
yeah,
you know, the stories, so many people think we're exaggerating or they can't imagine, like, if they've only listened to, you know, the station over the last 5 or 10 years, you know, they can't imagine what it was like. Like, you talk about, you know, Bruce Mittman. When I started on the air in 98, you know, we were talking earlier about, you know, the female actresses.
Yes.
That I used to have on my show.
Yes.
And one night I had just started and I had one of my adult entertainment friends on the show and I thought for sure I was getting fired. And the hotline's ringing at like 10:30 at night and I was like, oh, God, I'm going to lose my job. And Bruce just called and he was like, hey, I just called to say hi to your friend.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know what? I have the coolest boss in the world. This place is amazing.
there's no other place like it. And it was like that. It was like that all the time, too.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
You know, the media would show up. Did you guys just do this? And then the next day, the cops would show up because something happened. You know, every day we went there, we never knew who we were going to see or who was going to show up. But they always protected us, you know, and it was so cool.
Well, they knew that we needed to have, you know, the leeway to be able to cause a little bit of trouble. That's what this radio station is.
Yeah, Mittman knew that.
Yeah.
You know, he knew that you had to have an attitude.
Yep.
You know, you had to be a little bit obnoxious. Yeah. You know? Hey, John.
Yeah, geez, you know, you know, I remember Mike Hsu. I remember the day I met you. You came in. I'm like, well, here's this Asian guy. I'm like, where are you from? And you said, Pittsburgh.
I said,
wow, cool. You know, I didn't know where you were from. And then I remember Kerry. Of course, you were an intern with Greg in the morning. And I remember being in the room when they were talking about putting you on the air. They said, well, she's never been on the air before. Just so what? Put her on. People know who she is. And they put you on, and look what happened. I mean, I remember being there for all of that stuff, you know, like a little part of New England, Boston radio history. Really cool.
Well, I'm grateful that you were always so supportive, because it wasn't the most obvious move to take the girl driving the van and put her on the air, especially, you know, after Opie and Anthony got fired and that whole thing. It wasn't the obvious choice. And you guys all wanted to take a chance on me. And obviously, you know, I owe you a lot for that, and I appreciate it.
Well, absolutely. There was no doubt in my mind, because I had got there when we had Liz Wilde. Before Opie and Anthony.
Yeah.
The cream cheese bitch, Liz Wilde, and we had a lot of fun together. And then she left and went to Chicago. And then that's when Opie and Anthony came in. But then after them, I said, well, why not? It's time for another broad, another woman.
Bring in the broad.
So I thought it was great.
All right, John. Hey, thanks for taking the time to talk to us, man. It's really good to hear your voice. And
it's great to hear from you. And I'm so glad you called me. I can't believe tomorrow is going to be the last day WAF is going to be on 107.3 FM. But you know what? We'll always have the memories. Nobody can ever take any of those away from us. And I just wish you two the best.
Well, we're going to have a lot of free time, John. Can we come down and visit in New Orleans?
Hey, you always got a couch to sleep on in New Orleans if you come down here. You always have a couch.
Nice. Well,
appreciate it.
Thank you so much, man. We appreciate you taking the time.
We love you.
Mike Hsu and Kerry, love you too.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.